not sin. And Jesus isn't asking the gatekeepers to change and be straight. That's right. No place in the Word of God does it condemn gays. People, you know, there's something really interesting concerning this issue, and that is that if you really take notice of how you talk when you say gay is sin, and really evaluate this so that you can understand what you're not saying, because what you say is gay is sin. What you say is God hates it. What you say is you're going to hell if you don't change. What you say, it's in the Bible. These are the terms you usually say. On occasion you'll say, well, man shall not lie with man like man lies with womankind. Sometimes you say that. And sometimes you'll say Romans 1:26-27. See, you don't say anything to explain why. You're saying the Bible says gay is sin. You want the gay person to read your quote and then interpret it the way that you interpret it. But there's a problem with this, because gay people are gay people. So they know how they meet somebody. They know how they feel. They know how they date. They know how they fall in love. They know how they get married. So gay people got something going, you know. You see, and gay people know what you do, because they know that you, how you meet people. They know how you date people. They know how you fall in love. And they know how you get married. For a gay person, it's really easy, because what they see you doing, and what you have full understanding of, because you know what falling in love is, don't you? You know what dating is. So you understand this fully. And gay people understand it fully. For you people, straight people, that think gay is sin. The problem is, somehow you think that what you are doing, if gay people do it, then it's sin. But you have a bigger problem, because in your mind, you don't think gay people are meeting each other, dating, falling in love, doing all the stuff you do, you know, romantic, going to dinner, going out, going for strolls, holding hands, and all the kinds of stuff that works for falling in love. Now, isn't this interesting? How you know yourself, but you assume that a gay person is something entirely different, because the verses you use say that you believe a gay person is a gang rapist, that you believe that a gay person is a male temple prostitute, because the verses you use talk specifically about these kind of people. Genesis 19:4 says, all the boys, all the grandpas, all the males, and all the people in two cities coming to rape to death the two angels. How do you manage to say this is describing gays? Because gays are not like that. Gays are like you, remember? They meet somebody, they date, they fall in love, and they get married. What is your problem? You still can't get it. There's nothing I can say. For 22 years I've been on TV pleading with you to understand your choice of verses, because your choice of verses do not talk about gays. Leviticus, it seems like it's talking about a man with a man like a man with a woman, but it's not saying those English concepts, because it is the Hebrew language, using Hebrew words with Hebrew meaning. When translators translate to English, they try to do a good job and everything, so you get the good idea of what the symptoms mean. It's not a real big deal until you get to specific kinds of things where you are devastating hundreds of millions of people without care, without consideration, without a moment of study. because the Hebrew words in Leviticus talks about a practicing straight man. Do you know what a practicing straight man is? That means a straight man that is actually engaging in sexual activities with a straight woman and has enjoyed it. We say straight man. We know what straight man means. We need two words to say straight man. The Hebrew needs one word, and we read it in English as man. Now, there are a number of Hebrew words that is for man. But like that word love in Greek, there's four or five meanings or Greek words to express the specific kind of love. In English, we have love. We have to go out of our way to add words to this word love, so we'll have an idea of what we're talking about. Hebrew is similar to Greek in that it has words that you don't need to add to. So what it is talking about is an actual man that has actually enjoyed sex with women. There's 13 possible ways to translate Leviticus to English in those two verses that you like to use, in chapter 18, chapter 20. And 10 of those 13 ways say that the man has already participated in enjoyable sex with a woman. He's already done it. This is a man that's credentials are he's heterosexual. This is what he is before he did anything with another man. So you're starting out with a heterosexual man. 90% plus, maybe 99% of the men that it's talking about are married Hebrew men. This is a specific time. This is a group of people that God said, these are my people. I'm bringing them out and taking them to a promised land. You're coming from Egypt. Don't do as the Egyptians did. You're going to Canaan. Don't do as the Canaanites are doing. Well, this took 40 years to get there to here, because God drove them all over the place. What is a fact, which is historic, which is not a question? You can't doubt it. This is an absolute fact. These Hebrew men often went to fertility temples along the way, the local temples along the way. On their journey, as God led them to the promised land, they went to these fertility temples, to these other gods, and had ritual sex with the male temple prostitutes. The Bible has a word for these male temple prostitutes. It's sodomite. Now, what is really amazing, well, I got a pretty sophisticated Bible study program that goes into lots of different kinds of pretty famous, accepted, credentialized people and organizations that put together Bible studies, commentaries, and so forth. And on some of them, they actually, when you put a topic and you put sodomite in there, they have sodomite, comma, sodomy. Well, sodomy, for one thing, this is not a Bible word. There isn't a Hebrew word in the entire Bible or a Greek word in the entire Bible that talks about sodomy. And a sodomite, the Bible explains in explicit detail. It never, ever, in any of its words, say that a sodomite is a citizen of Sodom. It says that a sodomite is a male temple prostitute. And almost all the kinds of studies you get when you bring up that Hebrew word, you're going to get just a male devotee by licentious prostitution licentious idolatry. And the history of the land. There's temples everywhere. Paul went to a temple in Corinth. It's famous. This is not something to doubt or guess or say we're just wishful thinking. It is a fact. You go to this temple archives and the historical record to see what was going on, you find out that Paul actually went on a tour. He toured the temple, took a vacation, went inside the temple. You know, not too long ago, I went over to Paris, and I went into Notre Dame, that great big Catholic church there. Well, I'm not a Catholic. I have nothing to do with that kind of religion. I have my own opinions about that kind of religion, which I often talk about here. But I went in there as a tourist. I had my camera, and I took pictures inside and out of that place. Paul did the same thing. And he went in that temple, and that temple is known to have over 1,000 temple prostitutes. It had many orgy rooms. In this temple, it also had that statue to the unknown god. Remember, later on in one of Paul's books, he says, you even have a statue to the unknown god. Well, let me tell you who this unknown god, he is God, Father Jesus Christ, and he went on to preach the gospel. Now, how come when you are condemning gays, you don't know this information about the words that you're reading and the history and the setting? Paul had just toured the temple, and he went down and he sat down and he began to write the book of Romans after he toured this temple. Then later he actually went to Rome. And then we have that verse that you love to say gay and sin by. And you like to say verse 26 and 27. But you know, when a gay person reads that verse, it is absolutely incomprehensible how you get the romance of a couple in their dating to be what this is. What is described here is outright orgies. And worse yet, to other gods, because this is what that whole story is about. Romans 1, verse 18 to 32. It still tells you something, that these people have to be adults. And by your definition, they have to be straight. Because you say 26 and 27, it says gay is sin. So to get them to be gay, you have to first have them straight. Which, because in 24 and 25 is how you get these people to be gay. Because God gave them over to do this kind of stuff. The actual verse is saying straight adults turned from God to gods. And so God gave them over to go ahead and go to the fertility temple, go ahead and participate in the ritual orgies in worship to the other gods. Then it says God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You say it so easily, people. Why do you say this so easily? Because it's pretty detailed. It gives you exacting behaviors. It says reprobate mind. Well, it's not too hard to figure out what a reprobate mind is. A reprobate mind is not whatever it is that you wish it to be. You say, well, you just think gay is so sick, they gotta be reprobate to do that. Hey, wait a minute. They were first conducting this gay behavior, as you wish. And then God gave them over to a reprobate mind. So what starts in God gave them over to a reprobate mind and then goes on to listing all manner of sins. These are not sexual sins. The reprobate mind and the other sins that are listed there, or behaviors, are not sexual. This means that in the 630 million gay people in the world, you will be able to actually see reprobate minds and the conduct of all of these behaviors, meaning that when you see gay people, you see all manner of evil. All the time, because this is a public thing. God made these people behave this kind of way. But what's real life? And what is real life for the past 2,000 years at least? When you consider gay people, well, it's not reprobate mind, and it's not all those evil behaviors. In fact, you find some pretty awesome people that are gay in history. And the more you study about gay people and the more you look into the lives of gay people today, they are the opposite of Romans chapter 1, verse 28 through 32. People, I plead with you to tell me how you get gays into the Bible. Because they're not gang rapists. They're not straight adults that turn gay because they turn from God and God made them gay. They're not past straight men that enjoyed women and suddenly started sleeping with men. And we're people, how do you get gays into the Bible? And no matter how much I plead with you, you know what you tell me? God hates it. And you say it's an abomination. And this word, Hebrew word, abomination, also there's two uses of it in the New Testament in Greek. They all mean specifically acts done to other gods. And there is actually one form of this word abomination, because in Hebrew there are a few different ones and they're all used in the Bible. And so you can look up and see the definitions of these few types of the word abomination. And they are acts done directly related to worshiping the other gods. And the only place in the Bible that uses a regular old disgusted hated thing definition, that verse says it's disgusted hated because it was sanctified food, sanctified to other gods. Please tell me how you get gay in the Bible. And there's another thing. Gays have testimony. I've been a Christian for over 33 years. People, don't you think that means something? I'm Pentecostal. I speak in tongues. Lay hands, get healed. I've been healed 3 major dramatic times. It was fantastic to be healed by God physically. Fantastic. Amazing. God is with me 24/7. Thousands of answers for, come on people, invite me to your church. You want to see the move of God? I'll show you the move of God. God is with me. Are you afraid? What is it that you can't deal with homosexuality? Because you really think it's bad. And so you're condemning 630 million people to hell without hope because you think they need to change. The latest thing, on news last night, of course this is a recorded program, on news last night, CNN News, the head of Exodus, the largest ex-gay community, which I know considerable about, the head of this person announced that he simply cannot any longer tell the people that come to that organization. He has to change his statement. He said that not all people can change, or will change, or have an effect on them. And that he thinks that it is a great possibility that people are actually born gay. Now, this is absolutely amazing that the president of Exodus is making these statements. Now, there's been several other presidents of Exodus that I know a lot about, but I'm not going to talk about this on this program. Excuse me, special. Now, come on, people. There's a lot of things that need to get right. There's things that you're being deceived about that is tremendous. Not only this, the gay issue, but the Bibles that you're using. They're absolutely all counterfeit. Only the King James Bible is not counterfeit. People, come on. Start studying. There's two people. It's easy to type Westcott and Hort into your browser and start reading all of these things. There's so many pages of it, tons and tons of information about these two, and they're getting more detailed than ever. These people weren't. You're one of the real true believers that got the modern versions into your hands. Now, people, you need to understand the book you're reading. There's Bibles. I think this, the last place I was reading there, it said there's 30,000 corruptions in the ASV. And 66 times they take out the word God. They omit it. Now, the word Jesus and the blood, they omit more than 66 times. And the other modern versions, even much more than this version. These are facts. These Bibles have 50,000 to 80,000 corruptions. The design is to take Christ out of Jesus, to condition you by your reading to accept that man over there when he reveals himself, because you're going to think he's Jesus Christ. There's going to be deceptions that happen that's going to coincide with the modern version that you're reading, which is going to convince you to decide that man over there is Jesus after all. None of you care. Now today, you look up in the sky and you really don't see any chemtrails. Earlier this morning, I saw a couple of them. Because you can't find Christians talking about chemtrails. And at best, you might say, oh, they're contrails. And contrails and chemtrails are two different animals altogether. Global warming, what is this nonsense? The military is covering the skies in this stuff that would create global warming. The Bible doesn't say there's going to be global warming. Who are you going to believe? And as Christians, a mighty group, numbers of Christians, who are you going to believe? It appears you believe what you're told, not what you read. The Bible does not say there'll be global warming. People, as time goes on, it's time to start preparing. You are not ordinary Christians. You're not the Christians of 2,000 years ago. You're not the first days Christians. You're the last days Christians. This means something. Something different is going to be with you. You are a privileged lot that's going to see Jesus return. Those of you that can live are going to be in for some great deceptions and a great spanking. You think that you're going to get a free ticket home, that rapture is a freebie. It is not. You need to be rapture ready. And rapture ready involves 1,200 days of shaking of Christians. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, and that God rose you on the third day. I believe you died on the cross and paid the price for my sin. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. A simple prayer like that gets you saved. Now ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. One of the initial evidences is you speak in a language you didn't learn and you won't understand it, but it will be intercessory prayer to God for you and for others. Hey people, get ready. Your last day's Christian. See you next week. Thank you.